Good evening, everyone. Reconvening our meeting. That was section B. Let me cross that off. All right, section C, Pledge of Allegiance to our flag. Looking around. Jeremy, would you lead us in our Pledge of Allegiance? Yes, I planned that in the other room. Give him a round of applause, everyone. Let's encourage him.
All right. So good evening. If you could please join me in standing for the Pledge of Allegiance. Ready? Begin.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. You may be seated.
No.
I can't tell you who it was that nominated you, Jeremy. But we thank you. Okay, moving on to section D, adoption of the agenda. Seeking a motion?
I move.
I need a second.
Second.
All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any noes? Anyone abstaining? So carried. Moving on to E, recognitions and presentations. We have E1, results of the 2024 California Assessment of Student Performance and Progress, the CASP, as presented by Robert Francis Gallagher, Assistant Superintendent of Learning and Teaching, along with Jeremy Wood.
Yeah. Madam President, Board of Trustees, Deputy Superintendent, Dr. Macias, Cabinet, my friends in the audience, the CASP is part of California's overall assessment system. Near the end of each year, our students 3 through 8 take the CASP. It's a summative assessment. Summative meaning that it sums up what students have learned that year on that year's standards. Now, scores come back, 4 different levels, 4 big clumps. You know, students have not met standards, nearly met standards or exceeded standards. So today, Jeremy Wood's going to kind of give you a little presentation on how we did overall, kind of comparing ourselves from different districts in the county. Before he begins, though, the California dashboard was released today. And if you remember, the dashboard is that kind of like rainbow that threw up with all the different colors. So it came out today. We haven't had a chance to really thoroughly look at it, but so far we're pleasantly happy with how the direction of how we're going. So it was good to kind of get that news from the state, kind of look at all the different colors. And really, none of this happens without this whole group here. You know, it's Thanksgiving's coming and just thankful for the hard work that everyone puts in to get these test scores. So Mr. Jeremy Wood.
Thank you. And good evening, Madam President, Board of Trustees, Deputy Superintendent Dr. Macias, and members of Cabinet. Thank you for the opportunity to present some of our results within CASP. And so CASP is just one assessment that we take within our district, but it's an important assessment that's the only one that's consistent across the state, which is why we do refer to it as standardized assessments. I do think it's important to look at what we actually use when we're making decisions about students and reporting on progress. It's not a specific assessment that we're really making a lot of decisions about individual students. It's really that whole child. So there's a lot of other academic components as we think about language arts, mathematics, and science that we use for measuring students' performance and progress. So things within the classroom, classroom quizzes and tests and just assignments. There also could be group projects that they're working on, teacher observations. We have iReady diagnostics. I know it sounds like a lot of assessments, but really when we talk about things like classroom assignments and projects, those are activities kids are doing. And so they have a work product at the end and that's what we're able to see how they're working with others and then also how they're able to complete those assignments. So the statewide piece is just another thing that we look at around students, but it is important for us to look at relative to our past experience and prior performance of students, as well as things that around us, whether it's our neighboring districts, similar districts, to really give us a point of relativity in terms of where we're at, where we're going, and how that compares to some of our other districts that we could learn from, perhaps if they're doing better than us or have bright spots. So what is CASP? Assistant Superintendent Gallagher had mentioned, it is a statewide assessment. It's in 3rd through 8th grade. It's adaptive, it's rigorous. As students are answering questions, it might be getting more difficult for them, but it is only measuring that grade level standards, even if it does get more difficult. And we do look at these results to make sure that we're providing kind of a program evaluation. Do we have the best programs in place for students? And then we use that to then determine what we can do to support those areas where we do need the improvement. And so in terms of educators looking at that progress and performance over time, we can see places that are going well and continue to keep those programs and services in place and strategies in the areas where we can always make augmentations or changes. So within the CASP assessment, there's a variety of assessments. So within science, we have the California Science Test. We also have the California Alternate Assessment for Science. Our alternate assessments are taken by about 200 students within the district, and these are students that have a significant cognitive disability. They have standard or instruction that's aligned to the grade level standards, but sometimes referred to more like a functional curriculum. It's really teaching kids life skills so that they can be productive and be able to be more independent as they move through into adulthood. We also have language arts assessments and math assessments, and there are optional Spanish reading assessments that we could participate in, but again, that's one additional assessment that's not required. So up until this point, we have opted not to deliver those Spanish reading assessments. In terms of performance, starting off with our language arts, looking at the last several years, kind of the inception of Smarter Balance back in 2015, you can see we've made great gains over that time. You'll see a little drop off there between 2019 and 2022, and that's obviously we had the couple years without assessment during COVID, that learning loss that occurred. So we did drop down, but we have made steady gains as we've got back into the swing of things each year within our schools and within the district. We see something very similar to math. Math is somewhere where we've always had accelerated growth, especially compared to other districts in the state average. And so we see that steeper curve as we come out of post-pandemic of students making progress. So these are a larger number of students. We're at almost a third of our students are making progress at meeting or exceeding standard within mathematics. As we dig a little bit deeper into a couple years of data for each of our grade levels, we can see most of our grade levels are making significant growth from one year to the next. But this is considered, or this isn't considered cohort. So when we're looking at like grade three, the students in the 2023 school year in the red bar are a different set of students than 23-24 school year, which is the blue bar. So it's also helpful to compare, for instance, the red in third grade is 2 years ago's third graders compared to the blue fourth grade was those same students as fourth graders last year. So even within a grade level from one year to the next, we don't always see the improvement, but if we're looking at the students as they move through, we do see higher levels of performance throughout this time across all of our grade levels in that way. We see similar trends within math. We have third grade students certainly excel at. That's when we're in multiplication. Fractions comes into play towards fourth grade, and that makes it a little bit tougher, so we do see a drop. That is a difficult concept as we go through instruction. I think teachers and students and us as adults sometimes struggle with fractions. They're kind of a weird thing. So we do see a little bit of drop of those early grade levels, but as a whole, from one grade or one year to the next, our grade levels are continuing to make progress within math as well. So as we look at within the state and the county averages, so the blue being the California average performance for meeting or exceeding standard, purple is San Bernardino County, and red being Ontario Montclair. Within language arts, we're slightly higher than the county average, though we have a little bit of ways to go to catch up to the state, but we are definitely getting there, as you'll see on the next slide. And then with math, we're doing quite a bit better than the county average. Again, math is something that we've always excelled in, I think, with the OMSC, and the amount of growth that we get year to year is pretty phenomenal. And so as we look at just the growth, you can see, I mentioned, right, we're trying to catch up to California. We have almost twice the growth that California had within language arts, so we really are closing that gap. And then within math, you can see we're outpacing both the county and the state for growth. So even though we're a little bit higher than county, we're gonna continue to move away from them in a good direction, though they're still making progress. We wanna honor them for that. But we are outpacing the county and then also the state as well. So that really puts us into a good footing as we continue through the years supporting our students. So as we get into student group performance, and I apologize to the audience that the labels are a little bit blurry and small perhaps, but we can see the first group is all students, so we can see a little bit higher from 1 year to the next. The second group being our Hispanic Latino, which is predominantly a large portion of population, so it generally mirrors that of the district, that same growth. Even within our low income, we have a little bit higher growth than we've seen as a district as a whole, and so that's a good place to be. And then our student group for English learners and students with disabilities are the two slightly lower bars. So there's a little bit of work there, definitely something that we're allocating resources and supports to. And then also we have our Black or African American students. That is a group that has grown in population within our district by about 20% over the last 10 years. So that is something that we want to start bringing into the forefront and paying attention to. As we look at math, in math we see success across all of those student groups that have improvement from 1 year to the next. There wasn't a single student group that actually backslid in math. So that's, again, something very important for us to celebrate. And so all of this growth that we've made in both language arts and math, it really comes down to the parents, the educators, the support of our boards, and I appreciate all the hard work. So when I come up to present data, it's an easy, low-stress thing for me because it's always pleasant and positive because of the work of the people who are in the classrooms, who are there direct services for students, who have the kids at home and are doing homework with them or reading to them before they even start school as 3 and 2 and 4-year-olds. So it's really important that we honor that, and that is what makes it easy for me to come up here and present data each year. So as we look at our districts nearby, so these are our regional and similar school districts. Ontario Montclair is the top one, and you'll see a red dashed line that goes down. So that just signifies the districts that are performing a little bit higher or lower than us. You can see if the bar is extending past the red line, they're doing better. If they're below that red line, then they are have some room to catch up with us. And so within the, we kind of this 10 freeway corridors, a large number of regional districts that are selected, as well as some of our K-8 districts with similar populations across the Southern California and Central Valley. And so we are continuing to do better than many of them. And there's obviously regional districts have a variety of demographics in play that might impact their performance. Within mathematics, the red line's a little bit easier to see, but again, majority of the districts that are similar or local to us are working to catch up to us, and so it's a good place to be for our district as we move into each year and supporting our students, knowing that one, we're able to improve the student outcomes, improve their success on a standardized test like Smarter Balance or the alternate assessment, but then also gives us some relativity to those around us. If we look at the same information but growth, we can see that our district is actually, even though we are higher than majority of districts, we still are making positive growth. And some of those districts that are much lower than us do have a lot more significant growth. So as an example, you have Rialto Unified has made significant growth. And so it's something to recognize that their hard work and performance, but also they're starting at a lower place than us if you looked at the previous slide. So we try and balance that, look at current status, but also growth. They're both important, and we always want to make sure we're on the growth side of things, of course. As we look within math, you'll see a trend. A lot more districts are successful in improving on math, and we continue to be up there in the top few as well. So it's very important stuff. So with all of these results, I know it's positive and working in the right direction, and so we never are ones to stop innovation. We are educators. We are always learning ourselves. We are a learning organization, as a prior person would mention previously with Ms. Lipschultz, right? She very much reinforced that. And so that's true here. And so there's been a lot of programs put in place over the last couple of years, and some maybe newer this year that we want to continue to focus on. So that frequent structured planning time and PLCs, teacher collaboration is one of the most powerful tools for improving instruction and lessons and making sure that that's able to happen in that structured manner. Being able to have site-based coaching and support for our teachers. So someone to help teachers learn with new strategies and that support in PD, but then also having content experts. So if a teacher or a teacher team isn't really exactly familiar with content, is there someone within the district that can go and work with that team that can provide PD to really support the learning of that team? Because again, it's that constant improvement and innovation is really what our students need as society need changes, and our students definitely have changed over the last several years. And then also resources for teachers to support in-class interventions. So what is it we can help teachers with so they can provide instruction to all students, but also target those students that maybe have a few gaps to really be able to significantly impact all students across the board, and even including those that struggle, how can we get those pieces in place? And then, of course, ongoing PD for teachers, especially in ways that don't impact their instructional minutes. They very much love their time with their students. They know that's the most important part of their work, and so how can we continue to provide that PD without interrupting those instructional minutes? And so the last slide, there is a link to view the data, so if you want to dig into it, or if you have any other questions, whether it's about our district, maybe your kids go to a different district, that's a place to go to see everything across the state. And as Gallagher mentioned, the dashboard did come out today. I haven't told him this, but I'll let you know now. There are 34 districts in San Bernardino County. Of those 34 districts, 26 are eligible for technical assistance. And what that means is they have a student group that is struggling in some way. And so of those 26 districts, we are not one of them. So we're one of 8 districts within the county that are not eligible for technical assistance. And that is a good thing because that shows that not only is our district doing well, but all of our student groups as a district are doing well also. So as we get a chance to dig in more to that, we provide more information about the dashboard and the data and metrics as well. So thank you for your time.
It's a good prize not to win. Thank you, Jeremy. Okay, questions. We'll start with Ms. Flora. Questions or comments?
Thank you so much for your presentation, and I do agree with you with the teachers I want to give out. I want to say thank you to all the teachers who have invested in our kiddos, and I mean everybody in the district. So thank you so much for your report.
Thank you, Flora. Sonia?
Well, likewise, you guys did a great job with the data. I'm glad it's moving in the right direction, and we couldn't have done that without our teachers' help and our support staff as well. So thank you.
Thank you, Sonia. And Ms. Sarah?
I just want to echo my colleagues and also thank our classified employees, our paraeducators, our tutors, our mentors, and everybody who just comes out. And this is always stressful. Our 3 year to our 8th year, our standardized testing, everything that goes with it, going through the data, it's stressful for everybody. And just to see the growth, because we have just put so much energy and love and communication behind it and training and all kinds of different things just to help us, you know, come out of that. And as you said, out of that COVID years. And then so it's nice to see that we are growing. So thank you so much. And thank you, everybody.
Thank you, Sarah. I heard important words that were being said, team effort, communication, love, you know, just those very important terms. And it's important to know that no one is on an island. You know, communication is key. And that's why these improvements are happening. And very thorough presentation. Thank you for that. I have a question. Are we planning any time in the near future to add that Spanish aspect, or is that something that just won't behoove the district?
I think it would be possibly a benefit for our students in our dual immersion program.
Yeah.
So that would be the place within Euclid and Central Language Academy. Mm-hmm. It takes place during the same time as LPAC assessments and Smarter Balance and the science test. So it would be one additional thing we're asking our students to do. And it would obviously impact instructional time as well for additional assessment. So that's something that we could definitely consider and look into for those two schools.
We wouldn't want to overload, but you know, it might be something to strive for the students to see how well they are doing in the Spanish.
Yeah,
arena.
And it is an optional assessment, so we could choose, for instance, maybe just as eighth graders as they're exiting the dual
just to see where
program.
They stand.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It could be an option for sure.
Okay, that was just a fun question. Dr. Macias.
Thank you, Madam President. Again, yeah, wonderful presentation, invaluable data for us to look at. You know, always come from the mindset that our students learning begins with the support and the encouragement at home, and it's in that partnership with our professional learning communities and the family learning communities that we see the growth of our efforts, of our collective efforts. So certainly want to recognize our teachers, our support providers, our classified professionals that help to contribute to the data that we see on these metrics that are before us. And I think it's more than just the numbers. It's truly the belief that our children, that efficacy, that we're making a difference and that they can rise to the level of expectations that we have for them. So again, I commend you and I commend this amazing board on behalf of Dr. Hammond and his cabinet for believing in our staff and what they're capable of doing. Great things will continue to happen here in OMSD.
Thank you, gentlemen.
Thank you, my pleasure.
Okay, moving on to section F, public comments by attendees. This is inclusive of OMTA, CSEA, parent groups, individual staff, students, families, business partners, public agencies, nonprofit groups, and other members of the public. And our first speaker tonight is Tracy Lee Taylor.
Good evening, President Rivas, Board, Cabinet, Deputy Dr. Hammond, or Hammond, Macias. Sorry about that, Dr. Macias. I'm here with an invitation to our school board. You should have probably gotten an invitation before today, but that's just who I am, so I apologize. We, OMTA, in conjunction with CTA Service Center 1, is having our yearly school board dinner. It will be, I will give you a email tomorrow, but you can write this down. December 10th at Mountain Meadows Golf Course. You are all invited. Sorry, Cabinet, not you, just the school board. And we would love to have you. We will be having a social half hour from 5 to 5:30, and then the dinner program goes from 5:30 to 8:30. And again, I will send this all to you tomorrow. The only thing I need to let you know is that because I didn't send this to you sooner, we need to have our RSVP in by Monday. So you either have the day off or you don't. So like, let us know. We'd love to have you, all the school board members. And I will make sure Chris gets a special invitation since she's not here right now. Anyway, Sarah, Sonia, Elvia, Flora, and Chris, we hope you can be there with us because it'll be a lovely evening. They only once in a while put too much sugar in the refried beans. Thank you.
Thank you. Our next speaker is Monica Castro. Either one.
Good evening to Madam President, the board, Dr. Macias. My name is Monica Castro, and I'm a community engagement specialist for Girl Scouts of Greater Los Angeles. And I did thank you. I've had a conversation. I was here this evening originally to ask about permission to flyer at least once or put up a banner to be able to promote when we have recruitment or parent information. But thank you for the information. I know that there are other ways that then we're going to have to go about that. But I did want to share, since I was here, that currently within the Ontario Montclair School District, I oversee Ontario Girl Scouts as well as 5 other cities, but you have 237 girls that are Girl Scouts, active Girl Scouts, out of your schools. And right now, currently, there are only 38 of them that are in the high schools, but the rest are all throughout your elementary and junior high. That is not counting Girl Scouts that would probably attend your schools but are part of the other cities, surrounding city Girl Scouts. They're very active in the city. For example, we have one of your seniors. On the stand up. Just one of your senior Girl Scouts and mom, who is a troop volunteer for quite a few years. The amount of community service projects that they do, higher learning, and the skills that they learn. So you have, ladies, if I look correctly, about 65 parents that are volunteer troop leaders, trained, skilled, to be able to present the type of skills and badges that the girls earn. With that said, we're just hoping that we wanted the support from the board to be able to I want to be able to officially tell my directors and CEO that unfortunately the school district does not allow any type of promoting of Girl Scout meetings or events, but I will find another way to hopefully to collaborate to get the word out to the schools about the troops that we're still trying to form, to offer. The last thing I must say is that we have a grant that we're offering for girls in Ontario that covers their membership as well as their uniforms for all new troops that are forming. And that is the word that we're trying to get out. But with the help of some of the leaders and, for example, the Christmas event, I'm trying to position myself in places in the community to be able to get the word out and hopefully grow some more troops in the city. Right. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Castro.
Thank you.
Are there any other yellow slips, Ms. Irma? Thank you. Okay, moving on to Section G, Consent Calendar, seeking a motion.
I move.
I need a second.
I second.
All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any noes? Anyone abstaining? So carried. Okay, turn the page. Section H, Discussion Action Public Hearing Items. We have one, HI. Set December 19th, 2024 as the official date for the annual organizational meeting for the Ontario Montclair School District Board of Trustees. Seeking a motion.
I move.
I need a second.
I second.
That's a bold second. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any noes? Anyone abstaining? So carried. Section I, call out of closed session actions. Dr. Macias?
No call out, Madam President.
Thank you, sir.
My pleasure.
Section J, comments and recommendations by Board of Trustees. Trustee Galvez?
Good evening, everyone. Thank you so much for being here. I want to wish everybody a happy Thanksgiving. And it's already on the screen. Okay, so this is amazing. Historic moment, Ontario School District hosts the first ever girls flag football game. And then, so this was between Vernon and Vina Danks. And so CIF has a flag football level, high school level. So our eighth graders are going to be able to have this experience and be able to go into being able to be a part of flag football there at the high school level. This is just something that we have added to our wonderful, just what we offer here, from chess club, robotics, soccer on the weekends. Every school is always active, and then this is just something that we have developed here through the teamwork and through Dr. Hobbs and his group and everyone. So this is just amazing. Okay, and then the last time, this is our second thing that I wanted to talk about. I have two other things, but the second thing I want to talk about is, remember I talked about graphics last time and all of that stuff, and that I went to see the Winter Classic attendance challenge. So I don't know if we have that picture though. No, we don't. Okay. So the Winter Graphic Attention Challenge, in October, shows a 6% drop in chronic absenteeism. And October's chronic absenteeism rates at an impressive 8.1, a significant improvement from the 14.1 last year, marking a 6% reduction. But I want to say that this has just been amazing for our kids, and then to be able to see their schools up here and all the growth that it's just bringing. And it's just another way that we are trying to get our kids to just, you know, say, hey, we want you to be here. And we are loving it. Other thing I want to say is that I want everybody to be safe over the Thanksgiving holiday. We're supposed to have rain this weekend. And you just threw me off because I was a Girl Scout. I was a Girl Scout. And then I got mauled by Girl Scouts at the Montclair Plaza. On Saturday, they were coming in groups. They were taking pictures with themselves. It was some kind of scavenger hunt or something. And then there was a lot, and they were coming around in packs, and it was 700 girls at the Montclair Plaza. Oh, that's awesome. No, I was there, and then I know where all the parent volunteers were. You guys were at the Starbucks outside the JCPenney's. Okay, I'm sorry, this is not appropriate. We're not supposed to talk to the audience. I apologize. So thank you guys so much, and then just have a great holiday weekend. I'm so sorry for the, we're not supposed to do that from the dais. So appreciate it so much, and thank you all so much. That was inappropriate.
It's your time at the microphone. You could have done that.
Oh,
Too late now, though. Moving on to Sonia. It's your turn.
Good evening, everybody. Well, it's nice to see everybody here today, and we've just been busy at the district. A lot of events, a lot of things happening, but you know, talking about the sports, my son's in the OMSD soccer club. They already had a game at Covina SoFi. They didn't win, but they played amazing. And they have another game. They have a scrimmage game today. Missed it, sorry. But they're doing amazing. They had practice yesterday, and these kids are very talented. And you know, my son had a conversation with him yesterday when I picked him up, and he has it all planned out. He says, okay, Mom, I'm going to do good in school. I'm going to graduate. I'm going to go to college. And then by the time I'm 30, I'm already going to be playing in, you know, in the majors or with the Galaxy, Barcelona. And I was like, okay, good. But him and his friends have it all planned out. So it's nice to hear them, you know, be excited about sports, because you know it trickles down to our school, academics, making sure they're doing good academically and following expectations, being respectful. So, you know, kudos to our directors, our coaches, for, you know, instilling that in our kids and for wanting them to do a lot better. So they could do it. I know they could do it. I believe in them. They're all going to be pros. And I want to wish everybody a happy Thanksgiving break with their families, and don't forget to sign up for a reindeer run for the Promise Scholar. For Promise Scholars, I believe that's going to be December 14th. Hopefully, we see you guys all out there, and we just have a lot of events. So just keep, you know, download our app, follow us on social media. Everything will be posted there, so you guys could be part of it. You know, my boys are also Boy Scouts, and you know, we had an award assembly for them, and there's a lot of girls in there too. It's co-ed now. So we had a lot of girls in our Boy Scouts troops. So it's always good to get our kids involved in outside activities as well. So thank you.
I think that's where your girls are going, hanging out with the boys. Maybe. Ms. Flora?
I just want to thank you guys for coming and for your comments and for your efforts in trying to get the word out there for the Girl Scouts. When I was younger, I was part of it in my school district back way then. And it was very joyful and a very wonderful experience. So thank you for all your hard work. And also to the teachers, thank you guys so much again for everything that you do for our kiddos. And happy Thanksgiving.
Thank you, Ms. Flora. I want to give a round of applause to our Ontario PD and our campus safety for always keeping us safe. Your applause is just very docile tonight, guys. I got to really tell you. You guys are like very low key tonight.
Carbs.
You know, it's carbs. You guys eat carbs before you got here. Is that what happened? I see. Okay. All right. Just wanted to check. Okay. I want to thank OMTA for the invite. Thank you so much. Every year, we party every year. That's it. Okay. Happy second birthday to my grandbaby, Malcolm Ramos, tomorrow, 2 years old. I'm excited about that. Yeah. I'm going to go wish that baby a happy birthday and have his little birthday party. It's actually a deconstructed birthday party. My daughter's having an open house for him. It's all the aspects of a birthday party, but it's not a birthday party. It's an open house. It's a new concept. I'll let you know how it goes. And I, too, was a Girl Scout. Let me tell you what happened, though. I was a Girl Scout in La Puente. It's a little tougher out there. And I was a Girl Scout, and then I wasn't. I got in a little tussle with another Girl Scout. Yeah, but there's no badge for that. I just got kicked out. So, yeah. I didn't start it. I just ended it. Knuckles. Anyway, that's what my story. That's what happened with that. But, yes, I do love the Girl Scouts. I want to say that I'm thankful for my Ontario Montclair family and everything that you guys do. You're awesome. I want to wish you a happy Thanksgiving. I hope it's pleasant and the grub is good. Enjoy. And pass it on to Dr. Hector Macias.
You have since redeemed yourself 100-fold.
I wasn't looking for redemption, but okay.
Yeah, I'd like to certainly extend gratitude to the Board of Trustees. We had a fantastic evening in recognizing the employees of the Ontario Montclair School District who have served 25 and one special who served 40 years. And you know, you afforded that capacity and that venue, and you recognize how important it is to give attention to those individuals. 25 years on a job is a lot of dedication, a lot of years. So again, the work that these dedicated honorees give each and every day to their peers, to their students, to the families is transformational. So collectively, we can just do just about anything. So stay united, OMSD. On another note, you know, college and career seem to be a common theme in this board meetings or in this board's Friday update as I look through it. Oftentimes, that used to just be a casual dinner conversation, you know, going to college or what you're going to do. But it's becoming a reality here. And I think a lot of it is what you foster, certainly starting at the board level. But what is also just part of our campuses, the ethos. If you go out and walk OMSD campuses now, you'll see throughout them banners of universities hanging, indicating that these are real possibilities because we're planning for it. Let me give you just a couple other examples. Tomorrow, De Anza Middle School will have its 11th annual college day, again, to foster the reality and for them to see professionals that sound like them, that came from similar neighborhoods, that look like them, to indicate you too can be the next Dr. Hurley. So these are all feasible outlets. Taking our students to career technical education, our middle schoolers are now going to the Chaffey Joint Unified School District to see again what their former OMSD students are now doing at these events. And lastly, just Promise Scholars, a recent visit to Pitzer College. You know, getting our kids on those universities is just special. And again, thank you so, so very much to this board, to our superintendent that makes these opportunities a reality. And on behalf of Dr. Hammond and his cabinet, we extend a heartfelt thank you for all you do each and every day. We wish you much rest, plenty of carbs, and looking forward to seeing all of you upon your return. Thank you.
Thank you, Hector. Section L, information announcements. L1, information item, proposed calendar of days for the regular meetings of the Ontario Montclair School District Board of Trustees for the 2025 calendar year. L2, holiday closures. All schools will be closed November 25th through the 29th of 2024, and district offices are closed November 27th through the 29th of 2024 in observance of Thanksgiving holiday. L3, any future agenda items, any request for board consideration must be submitted in writing and meet the criteria as indicated in Board Bylaw 9322. And L4, our next regular board meeting will be December 19th, 2024 at 6 p.m. open session, pending board approval, which I believe we already did, right here at Central Language Academy. Section M, adjournment, seeking a motion. I need a second.
A second.
And all those up here at the dais and all those in the room, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Have a good night, and we'll see you next time. Happy Thanksgiving.